the birth of Jesus is essential to our faith. Therefore, we commemorate it in our calendar. Amen? So just saying that. I don't know. I was just thinking about that today. But if you want to do more research about that and want to know, I'll send you a good direction on that. By the way, thank you for prayers for myself and my family. And last week was just a whirlwind week after church. My dad, he'd been in hospice for about a year and a half. And I've shared stories before where he had a major stroke when I was like 9 or 10 years old. And though his health was vastly improved all these years, his physical health has just been a bit of a struggle. And my sister called Saturday a week ago and said that they said he's got about 24 hours to 48 hours. So I was like, okay, after church, I'm going to come home. But he had been up to that point in 24-hour care pretty much for the last 2 weeks. So my sister, he's still at home. He was not in a home. So my sister took a bunch of time off work, was staying with my parents, and my sister and my mom were just taking care of him around the clock. So I got home 30 minutes after he passed away. But on Sunday, he really wasn't cognitive that day anyhow. So I came back in the middle of the week, gathered everybody up. We turned around and went back. The funeral was Friday. We got home about Sunday afternoon, I think, about 4 or 5 o'clock. So, I guess we could have rushed back for church Sunday, but be honest with you, I needed to stay with my mom and my sister as long as I could before I needed to come back. But thank you for your prayers. And, I hate it, but at the same time, it was just at that place where it's better for him. And certainly the weight of the care and all that kind of stuff. So, but we appreciate your prayers. And my dad was a great man. He pastored a deaf church. Did I ever tell you that? When I was a kid, so there was an Assemblies of God church that we attended. But I don't even know how it got started. But there was a church within the church, and all of the participants of that church within the church, they were all deaf. And my mom and dad are fluent in sign language, ASL, and I grew up as a kid around the deaf community a lot because, well, they pastored a whole bunch of deaf people that attended that church, and anyway, so good memories of those kind of things that helped shape my future and things I ended up doing. But anyways, we appreciate your prayers. So, having said that, let me highlight something to you that's coming up that is very important to me and very important to our church. And this is not the last time I'm gonna spend a moment highlighting this, but it was on my heart today to start saying about this. Starting January the 5th, which is the first Sunday of January. By the way, so how the days are falling. Christmas Day is a Wednesday. We have our Christmas Eve on a Tuesday at 6 o'clock. There is no church Wednesday on Christmas Day. Then the following Wednesday is January 1st. We will have church. I know a lot of you go and are with family and do different stuff. We're going to have church on January 1st. But then the first Sunday of January is January the 5th. That starts our 21 days of prayer. 21 days of prayer is vitally important to our church because we kick off the year and spend it in 21 days of prayer. And that runs from January 5th to January 25th. What we're going to be asking is this. First off, that everybody in the church, if you are physically able to, and again, some of you at times have to eat for take some medicine, whatever the case may be. If it's just a meal or a day, I'm encouraging everybody in church to fast at least one full day, one time a week during those 3 weeks of 21 days of prayer. If you want to do more than that, great. That January 5th through a good chunk of that week, I'm going to fast if you want to join with me for a longer period. But I'm encouraging everybody in church to fast at least one day or a meal of a day or something during that 21 days, okay? Also, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, the church will be open from 6 to 7 o'clock for church prayer, okay? Wednesday, we have church. Wednesdays during 21 days of prayer. Remember, we do church a little bit different during that time. And then we won't be open Saturdays, but then Sunday certainly is our Sunday service. My encouragement to you is this, is that at least one day during the week, you make it in for 6 to 7 o'clock prayer during that 21 days. It's a challenge to you. I'm throwing it out to you. I know you're working, busy, probably can't be here every day, but I encourage you to at least be here one extra day during the week to come in to pray. We have prayer sheets, prayer guide for this. There's some different things. We'll open each night with a worship song, a verse, and we'll spend time in personal prayer. Then we gather in corporate prayer. So that's 21 days of prayer. And if we claim to be a church on mission, then we must be a church that prays first. Let me tell you something. A church that thinks it's on mission but doesn't pray first is a church that's just sort of running aimlessly. And we're busy and we think we're doing something, but it's not really in the authority and the direction of the one who is involved in our prayers. Okay? That's why 21 days is important. We want to be a church on mission, but we want God to be behind us and in front of us and beside us and above us and below us and leading us and guiding us. Because if we think we're going to do this in our own power, our own wisdom, our own authority, our own wits, it's not going nowhere. So we start the year of 21 days of prayer. That we are people who pray because we're faithful in prayer. We're persistent in prayer. We have faith and belief in what we pray, that God hears and he responds. And we pray, listen, and we pray in a consistent way, as Paul would say, in a way that we pray without season. It's this constant communion with the Father in our prayer. And we do it in whose name? Why? Because in him is authority and backing. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're saying, I want to be in the will of the Father in what I'm praying. And it is by his authority that our prayers make a difference, right? So 21 days of prayer, January 5th to 25th, and certainly the scripture that we're kind of grabbing hold of, Amos 9:13. Please be praying about that scripture. By the way, what about your kids? What about your kids? So if you have kids, bring them. You know, as a youth pastor, we did youth differently than most any church you'll find out there. I literally had what we called a youth church, because almost every time we were at church, we had youth, and we had our own worship team and our own greeters. I mean, it was the youth church. 250 kids would be there, right? So we had Sunday morning youth church, but then we would also have Wednesday night youth. So I had two services a week for youth. And what we would do on Wednesday nights, here they come now anyway, so this is good. Y'all can hear what I'm about to say. I used to do, and it wasn't as hardcore as what this sounds like, but there would be one Wednesday night a month, I would do what we called boot camp. And those Wednesday nights were prayer nights. They were worship nights. In other words, I didn't treat them like they were a bunch of little kids. I said, you know what? We're going to pray. I'm going to teach you how to pray. I teach you on prayer. You know what we're going to do for the next 20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes? We're going to pray. And we teach them how to pray. So in other words, I'm saying, if you got kids, bring them. And it's a wonderful time. Well, I'm going to be distracted. Teach them. Walk them through prayer. Bring them with you when you come, okay? They're not too young to learn these sort of things, right? So anyhow, 21 days of prayer. It's vitally important to our church, so please make plans to be a part of it. And by the way, so we pretty much shut down in December and January all the extra stuff we do in the church, things like, let's say, small groups. We don't have small groups in December. Why? Well, just everything going on. December is a busy month. I want you to spend time with your family. Some of you may need to repair relationships with your family. I don't know what. But spend time with your family in December. because can I just say something? The job of the church is not to fill your calendar in such a way that you're never with your kids and your spouse and all that kind of stuff. Job of the church is not to take you away from your family. So in December, I want you to focus on your family. But we don't do small groups in January and things like that. Why? Because January is pray first. So I want you to come to prayer. That's why we're taking a break from small groups. Does that make sense? So 21 days of prayer is our focus in January. So plan to be a part of it, all right? Okay, having said that, I'm going to give you guys some homework. Are you ready? If you don't have something to write with, wave your hand around, and Al will help you out. Or if you have your phone, you know you can take notes in your phone. Wave your hand around. Justice, you can throw that slide up for me, please. Okay. And if you have something to write with, write those passages down. The great prophet Isaiah. What I'd like you to do is over however you want to space this out, I want you to write these down, and I want you to take time over the next few days, however you space it out, to read those passages of Scripture, okay? So if you're doing the Christmas devotion, just match it with that, or whatever devotional reading that you do. I'm assuming you read your Bible consistently. Write these down. These are called, these passages of Scriptures, they're called the servant songs of the prophet Isaiah. Now, the servant songs that we see in Isaiah are ultimately the foreshadowing of the Messiah, okay? Now, there are more prophetic words and leanings of Jesus in the prophet Isaiah, but these are specifically what are called the servant songs. And certainly we know that Jesus is the fulfillment as the Messiah. He was the one who was to come that is the deliverer. Now, we're going to actually read the first one tonight, but I want you to take time. And what I want you to do is when you read them, I want you to settle them in your heart and your mind, and I want you to meditate on them, roll them around in your mind. Now, some people get weirded out by that word meditation. It just means roll it around in your mind. Think about it. Contemplate it. Think about it. I think about the Scriptures a lot. Why? Because I want it to go from here and take root in my heart. Here's something I pray. Everybody look at me. I pray that the Scriptures sit deep within me. I don't want to just know the Bible. I've studied and read thousands of pages about the Bible. But that doesn't mean that the Scriptures themselves sit deep within me. I want the Scriptures to sit deep in who I am. And part of the way it happens is that you think about it, you contemplate it, you roll it around, you meditate on it. Okay, does that make sense what I'm saying? So I want you to think about these in that way. So the book of Isaiah, in a big picture way, is sort of divided in two different parts. It's not divided that way in your Bible, but you can think about it this way. The first part of it, and I think it's the first 30 chapters, are written while Isaiah is still in Jerusalem and he's prophesying about exile to come. Then the rest of the book of Isaiah is written after the exile, what he was prophesying about in the first half, okay? The first half of Isaiah technically is about here's coming judgment because you're a bunch of sinners and you broke covenant with God. The second half, when it comes to in exile, is a lot of hope. But here we are in exile because of judgment, but yet God. And what you find in the midst of the second half about hope, you find what are called the servant songs of Isaiah that are foreshadowing Jesus. Now, they're technically directly talking about Israel itself, but if when you read them, you'll see they're personified to a person. And we know that these things, that Israel did not fulfill these things themselves, but then Jesus did. Okay? So, Christmas, have you ever heard the term Advent? Okay. Advent is God breaking into our world to save us. But here's what starts to happen. Now, how many know that Isaiah, all these things that he's prophesying and saying are some 700 odd years before the birth of Jesus? That's a long time, 700 years. Israel developed an anticipation of waiting. Advent is, because if you notice, Advent starts in the beginning of December, is technically supposed to build an anticipation of waiting for December 25th. Then we celebrate that Jesus has come. Okay, so it's supposed to build an anticipation, kind of mirroring this waiting of Israel's deliverer to come. Now, these prophecies about Jesus and different prophets, Zechariah prophesies about stuff that turns to be Jesus. And these are hundreds of years of waiting. I get impatient if something takes a day. I order something on Amazon, I'm like, why is it not here? I just hit place order. Why is it not at my front door? You know what I'm saying? We are bad at waiting. That's why we like microwave food. It's the only reason we like it. How many of you spent a lot of time cooking for Thanksgiving? Anybody? Brandy was just telling me how she brined her turkey overnight with all these different herbs and stuff, and it was the best turkey she ever had. She didn't chuck that thing in the microwave and have it in 10 minutes. You see, I'm getting at it. Good things come to those who wait and have patience, right? We need to learn patience. So Advent is the anticipation of things that Isaiah is prophesying about, that this will happen. But after Isaiah said this, it's 700 years. And even when he came, they're like, this isn't it, right? But you know what that mirrors? It turns around and mirrors our right here and now anticipation that he is coming again. And now, by the way, 700 years between Isaiah and the birth of Jesus, Jesus ascended. It's 2,000 years, and we're still anticipating his return. It's the same sort of patient waiting for our deliverer to come and bring the final deliverance for those who believe, right? But Isaiah prophesies about what Jesus eventually fulfills and is like. So let's read Isaiah and just get a taste of it. So don't take this as reading the first one, and I want you to read it again later, but let's just read it together, just so you can see what we're talking about. Isaiah chapter 42, and put that back up there. I didn't write it in my notes. I think it's 1-9. Yes, 1-9. Okay, we'll read that together. Isaiah 42, 1-9. Here is a snapshot of how Jesus was. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I've called you in righteousness. I'll take you by the hand and keep you. And I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. And you can see echoes of Isaiah 61. And from prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory I will give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Watch this. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare, amen. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Yeah. You see how the foreshadowing of Jesus is all wrapped up in everything that's happening there. So to me, again, read this in another day and think about it. I'm thinking about then that Jesus being the servant, he has come not to be served, but to serve. That as God said when the dove descended upon him at his baptism, that he is pleased with his son. And certainly spirit was upon him. Notice the characteristics of how Jesus went about his business, not crying aloud or lifting up his voice in the streets. And those that would be considered in their heart bruised and broken and barely burning, he didn't come to quench them and break them, but to faithfully bring forth justice for them. That he would go forth and not be discouraged until what he has come to do is established. And this is set forth by God himself, the one who created the heavens and stretched them out, the one who gives breath to the people on it. And it's a covenant, a light for the nations. Jesus is the light of the world. We're going to talk about that a little bit Sunday when we talk about his name. Again, these echoes of Isaiah 61 will show up later in this book. And I love verse 9 where it says, and these former things, well, they've come to pass. But in Jesus, new things are declared, new covenant. Amen. And when you start to think about these things, don't just simply read your Bible. But you think about these things. These things will take meaning to you. I love to read. I read a lot. I just finished reading some 400 some page book about a true story about some lady named Mary Ingalls who was captured by Indians and was taken away, and she escaped and followed this river all the way back home. And crazy story, true story. I love to read. I could read the Bible like that too if I'm not careful. Entertainment. Something to fill my time. Something I do till I fall asleep. Right? But I don't want to read the Bible like that. I want to read the Bible that these words of God are alive. And they speak life. And I'll tell you what, if there's somebody that I want to know more than anybody else, it's Jesus. And another one of my prayers I pray is simply this: Jesus, I just want to know you more. Simple. But sometimes it takes reading some things like this and contemplating, letting it settle in on you, that these things come alive to you and they start to take on meaning that you wouldn't catch if you were just casually reading this. See, I'm getting that. So over the next few days, put that back up for me, Justice, that red screen. Thank you. And I think, by the way, Isaiah 53, most of you probably identify what's there, right? That's the Good Friday portion of the servant songs. That Jesus, Advent, God in flesh, breaks into our messy world with the characteristics that you find in this, in these scriptures, these prophecies from Isaiah. Because if I want to know him, by the way, why do I want to know him? Well, because I want to be like him. I want to know him because I want to take on his characteristics. I want to know his heart. You know, I often tell you, look, we're going to, I told you about next year, so I think it's February or March, we're going to jump into the Sermon on the Mount for like 12 weeks on a Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. There are going to be some things in there that you're going to go, why did he say this? Or why is he directing this? Because on the surface, it kind of goes, okay, well, okay. But why? But if you want to know the why behind the what, you got to get to know his heart. I think sometimes we run forth with the things of the gospel without the heart of Jesus, and we don't do well with it. Because truth without grace is just a mess. Grace needs truth, but truth needs grace. Well, I want to know him because I want to know his heart. As much as I can capture the why behind the what, the better. Have you ever told your kid not to do something, they go, why? You ever have that? Why? I don't understand. Why? That's stupid. Why? Right? Hopefully in wisdom, you didn't just say, because I said so. You may have said that, but hopefully in wisdom, you said, let me tell you why. You may not understand now, but you may get it later. This is why. The more you catch the why, the better the what settles in. To know him is to catch his heart. But if you want to catch his heart, you see things like this. Right? These things start to settle in. You got to think about it. Contemplate it. Amen? See what I'm getting at? So, to me, that is why the Christian faith is entirely lifelong, because I'm not going to get to know him or capture his heart in a day. Listen to me, or a week, or a month, or a year. In other words, what we were saying earlier, you can't microwave getting to know God. If God showed up in all of his glory right here and poured himself entirely into you in that manner, you couldn't take it. He gives you the glimpses you can handle. Right? In such a way of knowledge and understanding and the breadth of things. So we walk with him. If you try to rush through the kingdom of God, you'll miss it. And you're just running around aimlessly. Again, to learn how to slow down and think and prayerfully contemplate and allow the Holy Spirit to bring light to what these things are saying, alive. You have your whole life to do it. When you say, I'm old, well, you're almost to him. So keep rolling, right? You're getting to the place that, as Paul says, maybe I think it'd be better to be absent from the body than present with the Lord because of the glory revealed, right? But this is the daily walk. Amen? So take some time. Slow down. I promise you, if you do, it'll benefit you. I promise. When we jump into, in January, we're going to talk about the table manners of Jesus. Jesus always got in trouble for who he ate with. We're going to talk about it and why. Then we're going to roll into the Sermon on the Mount for a while. If while we're doing this, starting in January on, if you're not thinking and during the week, it's just going to be a nice series on Sunday mornings. But man, if you're grabbing it and thinking about it and contemplating it and catching that why, I believe over the next 6 months, your understanding of Jesus and what it's all about is going to be changed. Now, I'll tell you why. So I'll close with this. I had a whole something else to talk about, but we didn't get there. Next week, we'll do it. I was technically going to do a testimony night tonight. Next Wednesday. So I shared this with you before, but to kind of give you an idea. So I was pastoring for, several years. And one day I was in the scriptures and I read something and I went, I don't understand why Jesus said that. Surface level, it just didn't click with me. You know what I'm talking about? But I know it's right. I know it's true. I know I need to apply it. But at the service, I went, and the Holy Spirit said to me, why don't you spend some time here? Challenge me not to leave it. You know what I'm talking about? That was my thought for the day, and now I'm going to read something tomorrow. He said, why don't you spend some time here? And I didn't get it, but he wanted me to start digging into the heart behind what I was going. I don't really get that. See what I'm getting at? And it ended up for the next, I would say, year and a half, 95 to 98% of the days in that year and a half, I read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, because the thing that I was like, what? It was in the Sermon on the Mount, something Jesus was saying. Every day, almost 95, 98% of the days, every day I spent time in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Three chapters of the Bible, and I didn't read anything else in the Bible for a year and a half. Because the Holy Spirit told me, spend some time there. You know what he's teaching me? Quit trying to rush through what God has said. Start to learn to catch it. You got to learn. He's telling me, boy, you got to learn how to slow down. So I did. And I read it, like I said, almost every day for a year until I finally felt like, okay, I'm ready to get into something else. But let me tell you something. There were some things in that Matthew chapter 5 through 7, a year into reading it every day and prayerfully saying, Holy Spirit, help me as I read this every day, it didn't click in me until a year into it where something went, oh, you know what I'm talking about? Light bulb, oh, okay, wow. But it took that whole time. You see, I'm getting at. But it's okay. I have all the time in the world because this rolls into eternity. I don't have to rush through it. Because I want to catch what I need to catch in the here and now to be everything that I should be in him. Okay? Does that make sense? That's the challenge. This is my challenge, and I'll say it 100 times. I know we said this slow down a lot before, but it's going to start coming back up again after the new year. As we're in this series, I want you to learn how to slow down and take time. And instead of you rushing through, let the Holy Spirit be the one to guide you through. And let me tell you something. He's not running a sprint race. He's not. Because you can't be changed that fast. There are some things in your life that, boom, and he turns it over. I'm telling you, growth takes time. Right? Amen? Sound good? All right, Servant Psalms. Check them out over the next week. And I'll tell you what I'd love to see happen is maybe next Wednesday we'll do a testimony night. But Maybe we'll see if anybody has to say of things that grab their heart out of the servant songs. So maybe next week there'll be no live streams. Sorry, come to church. Love y'all. Okay, sound good? All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you want us to walk with you, to teach us, to guide us, to grow us, to change us. That this from glory to glory to ever-increasing glory, that comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, that we are growing. We're in this for the long haul, long-term discipleship. And I thank you, Jesus, that we are becoming who you intend us to be. So we give you ourselves. We give ourselves over to the master teacher. We give ourselves over to the potter. You shape us and you mold us. In Jesus' name, amen. So over the next, I'm going to say until at least September of next year, all of these messages I'm teaching are very near and dear to my heart. And it's not like what I teach is not generally, but there's something about these theories coming up that are just in my heart. So I'm really looking forward to our time together. Okay? Sound good? All right, everybody, I don't know if the weather's getting worse out there, but if it's snowing, be safe. We'll see. By the way, bring a friend out Sunday morning. We'll continue our series on the name. I'm looking forward to our time together. Have a wonderful rest of the week.